It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, baby. Basketball is not back, but the Sacramento Kings play basketball tonight at Golden 1 Center. Basketball's not back until the games count.
I don't know. It's back.
There will be basketball tonight for sure. And look, I refuse to be Captain Buzzkill on the whole preseason thing. This is exciting. I'm very excited for basketball tonight. I cannot wait. The Kings host the Warriors at Golden 1 Center on ESPN. I can't wait.
I'm excited.
We're
going
to have basketball to talk about.
I'm excited to walk in and like to be there to say hi to all my friends that you only get to see during the basketball season, you know, to walk around and greet all the ushers and just be in the building, see the big scoreboard lit up and all that. I'm just excited.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. If you would like to join the program, we would love to hear from you today on the Kings preseason opener. How are we feeling? Are you going to the game? What are you watching for? Go ahead and join the conversation. Again, that's the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. And, of course, everybody listening on ESPN 1320, salute to you. Everybody listening on the free Odyssey app and watching on YouTube at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We appreciate you there as well. I was gonna do a whole thing today about how, like, there's going to be a basketball game, but really what can we do? But there's so many things to watch tonight, and there's so many things to pay attention to, and there are so many I don't want to call them storylines because I don't think you really get storylines in a preseason game. But it's different. Like, there was a seismic change to the Kings roster this offseason with the inclusion of DeMar DeRozan, and he's going to take the floor tonight. We were at freaking the California Classic when DeMar DeRozan, walks out courtside in street clothes and Golden 1 Center lit up. He gets announced in the starting lineup even in a preseason game?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
No, I think so, too.
And I can't wait.
Kings fans show up. No matter what, they always show up. So, hey, look, this is the first step, right? And and look, for all the things, that, you know, I've been to practice. I've missed one day of practice since training camp started, media day started. And it was because it was early during the day and we weren't able to make it out there in time. But we don't get to see very much.
Mm-hmm.
So when we all collectively watch the game tonight, whether it's on ESPN or whether you're in the building, it will be the first look that anyone truly gets at this team outside of people within the walls.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what this team is going to look like. And I think it's really, really intriguing, like that first that first look. And, you know, we hear, you know, DeMar DeRozan and Domantas Sabonis keep talking about how, you know, like their DHO game is going to be unstoppable. Okay, I want to see it. I want to see it against, you know, opposition that doesn't know what's coming. I want to see it against, you know, teams that are scouting for it. I want to see it. And then on top of that, I want to see, you know, this intriguing young player that is Isaac Jones, that is sort of the buzz of camp all of a sudden with his ability to crash the offensive glass and hit the three-point shot. I want to see, like, has Colby Jones taken a step? I want to see what Keon Ellis looks like in the starting lineup with DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many things that I think we don't really know how it's going to look until you actually start playing the games. And even though it's preseason, even though the starters are only going to play probably the first half,
mm-hmm.
we're still going to get, like, a dose of, okay, this is interesting, or,
yeah.
Okay, they've got some problems.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And again, nobody's going to make any sweeping declarations off tonight's game one way or the other.
Nope.
But it's at least basketball. It's at least a tangible thing that we can look at and have examples of and plays to talk about. And that's the exciting part. We don't have to theorize. We don't have to go off low-angle practice footage. We can actually watch the Sacramento Kings play basketball tonight at Golden 1 Center. Feels like there's a little bit more weight on this than a typical preseason game. And maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just the excitement of basketball being back. Because last year, there was some excitement with the Kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming off a playoff season, what it's going to look like. But it was mostly the same team. We had the Chris Duarte, Kevin Huerter drama a little bit, but then Chris Duarte got hurt and... That drama ended immediately.
Yep.
So there wasn't like... It was more, okay, let's get through this. Let's get to the real thing.
Yeah, it was
Can they run this back in the regular season?
Outside of Duarte, was the only other free agent acquisition or the only other acquisition was...
JaVale?
It was JaVale.
Yeah,
right? Are we wrong? Are we missing somebody? Maybe we're missing somebody.
I don't think we're missing anyone major. Sasha.
Oh, Sasha.
Yeah.
Okay.
But even still, when we talked about Sasha last year, it was like, man, hey, the maximized version, man, could he give you 15 good minutes a night? It wasn't the DeMar DeRozan of it. It wasn't, hey, Keon Ellis and the strides he made at the end of last year, especially on the defensive end. Oh, there's just going to be a new starting two guard. This year. How does that look over an 82-game season? Does he hold on to that starting job once Kevin Herter's back? And that's what stings. I don't want to say it stings, but you would love to see a full version of this roster right now. Mm-hmm. Where, hey, oh, Devin Carter's going to... Where does Devin Carter fit?
Or how does Trey Lyles work with DeMar DeRozan?
Right.
Yeah.
Is there really a battle between Kevin Huerter and Keon Ellis? Like, what does Kevin Huerter look like running with the second unit?
Mm-hmm.
Like those are all storylines we're missing that we'll, you know, get to see kind of throughout the year. But still, just the DeMar DeRozan of it all.
Yep.
Is enough to get me excited. Plus it's the Warriors. And that's always going to be as long as both teams are at least in the conversation,
mm-hmm.
That's always going to be fun with the Warriors right down to 80 there. So that's why I think the DeMar DeRozan of it, the fact that it's Golden State, it just on ESPN.
Yeah.
It feels heavier than normal. They were playing the Jazz and it wasn't on national TV and they ran it back with the same roster.
It would just kind of be like blase.
When does October, was it 24th is the opener?
Yeah.
Like, when does October 24th get
there? No, I think there is a ton of intrigue opening this season. And it's not, again, there isn't position battles,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, how does it all work? Because when you add like a major, major ingredient,
mm-hmm.
You never know. You never know how it's going to work out. It could be like, oh, that's not good.
Sure.
Most likely it's going to be like, oh, this is really, really intriguing.
Right.
And
right.
this, you know, we'll see how it works and how it's going to project over 82 games and all that mm-hmm. stuff. But that first look at it, I think it's always like with fresh eyes. And so I'm excited to get that look. And also like when we talk about like Keegan Murray, like Keegan Murray is like, you know, he looks jacked. Right. I want to see what
best shape of his life.
Yeah. What that looks like on the court. Mm-hmm. Like, how does he move? Does he move differently? We haven't got to see enough of practice to see anything that would make you make a definitive thought on a player yet. And so I kind of want to see, you know, it's all these little nuances of it that you really want to like kind of see in actuality.
Yeah, if Keegan Murray goes out tonight and doesn't play well, we're not going to come in here tomorrow and go, wow, he bulked up too much. Like, it's not, right? Nobody's, yeah. Again, nobody's making, DeMar DeRozan goes 0 for 6. It's not going to be the sky's falling, right? That's not the, but on the other hand, how closely do you expect this to resemble what we'll see in the regular season? And let me explain that. Because in the NFL, when there's a preseason game, let's say the starters happen to be playing, there's no thought that any offensive changes, any wrinkles to the scheme are going to be shown in the preseason. It's vanilla, right? That's the phrase du jour for any preseason game. It is vanilla offense versus vanilla defense.
Mm-hmm.
The defense might throw a couple of blitzes at you, but for the most part, they're going to sit back and cover two or cover three, and they're just going to hang out. Do you expect that tonight, where we see a just really basic version of the Kings offense where for the starters specifically, obviously the backups are in a little bit different spot where they're fighting for either a roster spot or a G League spot.
Mm-hmm.
But do you expect when the Kings starters are on the floor, let's say the first 5 minutes of the game, do you think it's going to closely resemble what we'll see when the regular season begins here against Minnesota? Or is it going to be a vanilla version where it's like, hey, these guys are just getting out there and getting some basketball in, and the real thing will start in October, and it'll look a lot different?
Yeah, okay, so I think the difference between football and basketball, like there's such a huge gap difference between what preseason looks like in the NBA versus what it looks like in the NFL. And NFL, it's a true tryout, right? You're trying out like the other 30 players and usually giving players an opportunity. Mm-hmm. In the NBA, what we'll see tonight is we're going to see base package offense, base package defense, right? And we're going to see how those things hold up.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that like basketball is such an instinctual sport that like if you have a connection with a player, you're not going to hold back and not do something like in a two-man game because you don't want someone seeing it for regular season. It's almost like, you know, when you're in a preseason football game and a quarterback rolls out, he's not going to check down to the easy guy every time because that's the easy play and he needs to make the easy play. Yeah. Sometimes he goes, you know what?
Testing things.
I'm going up top. Or, you know what? I'm going to hit a laser beam across the field and see what happens.
For sure.
Because it doesn't really matter. So I think we're going to see a little bit of that tonight where sort of the basic, but also how players react to each other on the court. Because that's, I think, again, with Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan, I think there's been a lot of like work together on specific types of two-man game stuff. And you're not going to hold it back just because, you know, like there's going to be options off the base offense that we haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what their offense looks like on day one and what their offense looks like in December and then February, it's always going to evolve. There's going to be these nuances that are added as we go through the season, right? And all of these new wrinkles and you know, does Keegan Murray all of a sudden, you know, show that he can flash to the basket, pin his man down, put his hand up, take an entry pass into the low block and go up and score on somebody? That could be an option, but it's probably not an option we're going to see tonight.
Yeah.
That would be an option we're going to see in week three of the season where they start to like sort of unfold the rest of the offense.
It almost seems to me like you'd go out tonight, and I know that obviously the Kings coaching staff has some kind of plan. They're not going, go play.
Yeah.
Like there's some kind of plan. They want to get something out of this game, a win or a loss, whatever, but they're trying to glean something from this.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I'm expecting tonight is that might be different than what we see in the regular season. It wouldn't surprise me if it's more DeMar DeRozan-centric tonight, just while they're figuring that out and learning to play together. Okay, that's great that Domas and DeMar were working out together in SoCal. That's awesome. It's awesome that they've gotten to go against their G League guys in practice and work on it there. But what does it look like against an opponent?
Yeah,
where the speed gets ratcheted up a little bit, the physicality gets ratcheted up a little bit. This is where the preseason gets super valuable. Where we heard Domas talk about it at his camp. We heard him talking about learning how to play around DeMar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this is where you can learn that. That it I wouldn't mind tonight if it's just DeMar DeRozan's primary ball handler on every play, and then maybe next game it's okay, he's going to play off the ball. We're going to see how that works.
Yeah.
and just trying to figure those things out. So that way you can hit the ground running as much as possible with him in the regular season. There's going to be adjustments. There's going to be tweaks. Yeah, like you said, his defenses adjust, and there's that push pull and the back and forth that goes on between teams all year.
Yeah.
But I expect it to be a little bit more DeMar DeRozan heavy tonight than in the regular season.
Well, that and like, look, when you're going up against Golden State Warriors, like, it's very specific. The Kings right now, when they're playing in the gym, there might be a couple of noisy players, right? Like, Alex Lynn isn't a noisy player, but, you know, like, Mason Jones is a noisy player. He talks a lot, but he also, he's vocal on the defensive end and stuff. But for the who is Domas going up against in practice? I don't think it's Alex Lynn most of the time. I think it's guys like Scowl. It's guys before he got hurt, Orlando Robinson. It's like these other players.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to go up against one of the, like, Kings fans can dislike Draymond Green all they want. But on the court, he's one of the best floor leaders on the defensive end that you're ever going to run into.
Mm-hmm.
In the league, he's one of the most vocal and smart defensive players that you're going to run into.
Mm-hmm.
He will be directing traffic in a different way than the Kings have been, like the players the Kings are up against in practice every day. And that is where you really start to test this thing. Like, how is it going to look? It's one thing to, you know, drive a Ferrari on a track that's, you know, four left turns. It's a whole nother thing when you take it out on the street and, you know, you go up a Pacific Coast Highway. Yeah. Right. So that's what we're dealing with now. And it's the next progression. And I think starting your preseason with the Warriors and playing them twice, absolutely perfect. Because that dude's going to be calling out all kinds of things that you wish he wasn't calling out, but you need him to call out because that's what you need.
Point.
Yeah. You need this guy. You need to play against a team like this, a veteran team that's played against you a ton, that has a lot of your play sets in their head, and you need to be able to adapt.
It's going to be fascinating because we're doing the thing again where the Warriors and Kings have played each other a million times in their last few games.
Yeah.
So the obviously the play-in game where the Kings win 118-94 at Golden 1 Center, and then preseason game number one tonight.
Yep.
At Golden 1, then at Chase Center on October 11th,
Friday,
and then they don't play again until January 5th.
That's wild.
What?
That's that never happens.
That's crazy.
Last year it was three times in the first nine games.
Yes,
and then one time at the end of the season.
Yes,
and those three times in nine games came after you played against them twice in preseason, so five, and then you'd played against them in the playoffs. So you'd played a seven game series there. And then leading into the playoffs, you'd played them. And so you had played the Warriors like 9 times or 11 times, 12 times over a course of 20 games, which was just like total oversaturation. But getting them right now, this is a perfect team. Because what you don't want to do is go up against a team that has like that doesn't have a defensive identity, that doesn't have a defensive floor general.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you run up against that team, you might not glean anything from it at all.
Yeah.
Right? And this is going to be a good test. And I don't know how much he's going to play. You know, having Draymond Green versus Domantas Sabonis, I think is perfectly fine.
So here's just I'm stuck on the schedule thing now. The Kings and Warriors played three times by the end of November.
Last year. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
First nine games.
And then they played again on January 25th. And then they were done with each other for the year. And this year you're going to get the exact opposite of that, where they don't play until January 5th. But we kind of asked for that. It's like, man, can we get these two teams playing each other when they've figured some things out?
Yep.
And they've gotten into the season a little bit.
I think they, instead of the Warriors, they're playing the Lakers all those times this year.
Are the Lakers in their play-in or their in-season group?
No, Minnesota is.
Minnesota, the Clippers. The Clippers are the in-season.
Okay.
In-season team. I think that's part of the reason they played the Warriors.
And then what, Spurs? Is it Spurs?
I think it's the Spurs. Where's the in-season tournament? Where'd it go?
What's it? It's not called the in-season tournament anymore.
I'm sorry, the NBA Cup. it's the Blazers.
Okay.
And the Rockets.
Blazers, Rockets, Minnesota.
Blazers, Rockets, Minnesota, Clippers.
Clippers. Yeah. Okay, so not Lakers.
Right.
The Emirates NBA Cup.
Oh, sure. Totally. That's what it's called.
Forgot that.
That's the in-season tournament.
That's right.
They can call it whatever they want. That's fine. It's how Arco Arena got six different names at the end, and that's still Arco Arena. That's the in-season tournament for me.
Yeah.
You can call Staples Center whatever you want to call it. That's Staples Center.
I don't even know what they're calling it.
Is it still Crypto.com Arena?
No, that died halfway through the season.
Did they rename it Staples?
I think it might have gone back to Staples Center.
Dude, Staples with the scoop and score? Nope. According to the internet, it's Crypto.com Arena still.
Oh. Well, they must still be paying.
Oh, my God.
They probably paid in crypto. They paid in all that would these be, Doge I feel like coins that'd be, I feel like nothing.
I feel like that'd be bad news if this goes to show how very little I know about cryptocurrency. I feel like it's bad news if crypto.com is like, here's cash.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you can't. You're not going to pay us in crypto?
You're not going to pay in crypto?
Here's cash. We'll give you cash.
It's funny. We worked together during this time, but this used to be a topic of discussion in the studio at NBC all the time. Paul, one of the guys who was at the desk.
Yes. Right? I remember Paul.
Paul.
Looks like a Paul.
He does look like a Paul. Mm-hmm. And Jim Cosmore and Doug and I would sit there and discuss whether we should be putting money into crypto. And they were like super pro crypto. And I think they've made a killing.
Coz and Paul?
Yes.
That tracks.
Or me and Doug are like, yeah, I don't think we don't understand it. Can you explain it to us? We can't explain it to you, but we'll try to explain it to you. It's like, okay, well, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. It's like, we know it doesn't make any sense, but you should still be putting your money into it. Don't put a lot. Just put some money. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. I know Coz is off in Nashville doing his thing.
He is.
We'll have a ton of King stuff for you. There's a bunch of things I want to dig into before the preseason opener tonight at Golden One Center, Warriors Kings. That is going to be on ESPN. Tip off, I believe, 7:30. I got the schedule right here.
Yeah, 7:30 tonight.
7:30 tip off.
Yeah,
7:30 tonight at Golden One Center. Hopefully, you'll be out there. I know you're going to be out there.
I'll be there.
If you're going to the game, hit us up. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. What are you looking for from the Kings tonight in their preseason opener? What are you excited to watch? Would love to hear from you on this Wednesday, October 9th. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Want to put a pin in the NBA stuff. I think the Dodgers are cooked.
Yeah.
The Padres won game 3 of the NLDS last night, 6-5. This is one of those, you know, these are my favorite kind of stats. It's the super deep dive, off the rails, what are you talking about? It's like he's the first player to have 4 threes, 2 steals on a Wednesday night. In
less than 13 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a ridiculous long list to get to. He's the first player to ever do this. Like, all right, I guess. Like, sure. The San Diego Padres last night became the first team ever to allow a grand slam, only score in one inning, and not score after the second inning, and still win the game.
That's some tightrope walking.
Congratulations to the Padres. You did it.
You did it.
They're the record holder for most wins when allowing a grand slam, only scoring in one inning and not scoring after the second inning. Teams will be chasing that record for decades.
Yes. It is definitely one that someone has circled somewhere. We got to get that record from the Padres.
It's such an insane baseball game. Dodgers, get a homer from Mookie Betts, who's been terrible in the playoffs. Get a homer from him in the first inning. Not a leadoff homer, but homer bases empty with one out.
Yeah.
Still a homer in the top of the first. 1-0. Padres answer with a sledgehammer. 6 runs in the second inning.
I sent you a text.
Or I'm sorry, 3 runs in the first, 3 runs in the second.
Yeah, I sent you a text. Dodgers cooked. When they got this, run homer, right?
There was a different, I had the stat wrong. They didn't only score in one inning. That's incorrect. Is that right?
Dang it. Now the stat is even more complicated. Wait, Kyle.
I think I'm looking at the wrong box score. Hang on. Yeah. Either way, doesn't matter. The Padres won 6-5. And you're watching this game and you're going, man, this might get out of hand. It's 10-2 in game 2. They come out. They're up 6-1. Yeah, they scored 6 in the second inning. That's right.
Yeah, your stats right.
Six, okay, I thought so. They scored 6 runs in the second inning to make it 6-1. And you're going, oh, man. And you texted me. You went, dude, the Dodgers are cooked.
Cooked.
And I'm going, I think they are. Being outscored 16-3. Mm-hmm. They're sending videos of Manny Machado throwing baseballs to the dugout to the league because they're trying to get him suspended because he's tearing them up. They're trying to do anything they can. They've got fans throwing stuff on the field. Like, this is just a team in disarray, dude.
Yep. Lots of excuses.
And then they go load the bases in the top of the third. Grand slam by Teoscar Hernandez. It's 6-5, and we're in the top of the third inning. And you're going, uh-oh. Yep. We might have epic all-time shootout. Final score, 6-5.
Pitcher's duel after that. From that moment on, a pitcher's duel.
A pitcher's duel in a game where 11 runs got scored.
Yeah.
But that's part of why. That's and the Mets beat the Phillies 7-2. They just throttled them in at Citi Field. Shout out to Sean Manaea, A's and Giants legend, who was awesome in that game. He went... Sean Manaea last night goes 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts.
What?
Yeah, he's been outstanding in the postseason for the Mets. Yeah, love it for him. But man, that's why I love postseason baseball so much, because that game was 6-5 after 3 innings, after 2.5 innings.
Yep.
And then it's like every pitch in a 1-run game. Every pitch is like a team's got first and goal at the 10. And any pitch could tie the game. Any pitch could change the complexion of the game.
Oh, yeah.
It was the best. It was thrilling.
I was
edge
watching
of my seat stuff, dude.
I was watching the first inning and thinking, man, the Padres are way too amped. And they keep popping everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Like warning track power. They're hitting moonshots that, you know, are caught by the shortstop.
Yeah.
Like every, you could just see they were so amped.
Yeah.
And then they just calmed down and took care of business. I'd also, like, the Dodgers bullpen doesn't allow a hit. The Padres bullpen only allowed one hit. Like really, really impressive in super high, crazy pressure filled situation for all those guys.
Yeah. And there's such a difference between, and you'll know it when you're watching. Last night was good pitching.
Yeah.
That was just really, really good pitching. It wasn't bad offense, because sometimes you'll see that. You'll see guys chasing bad pitches and doing what you were talking about with the Padres, popping stuff up and trying to do too much, trying to pull pitches that are outside and weak ground balls to third base. Like, no, man, that was just a dominant pitching performance on both sides after the third inning last night. The crowd in San Diego was unreal.
Yeah, wild.
It is so crazy what happens when an ownership group invests in a team.
Yeah, I think it's crazy too, because you know the owner who helped build that and put all the money into it passed away.
Yes,
which is, you know, horribly tragic. But you could see that he was trying to win one on his way out, and they didn't get there. But now you're sort of reaping the, you know, what he had built.
Yeah,
and it's really cool to see.
Yeah, I want to keep talking about this because you said I was. Just kind of rambling about this morning, and you looped the Kings into this conversation.
Yeah,
in a fascinating way, and I want to get to that next as we get you ready for the Kings preseason opener tonight at Golden One Center. They take on the Golden State Warriors. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. If you're unfamiliar with how this show does phone calls, A, we would love to hear from you. What are you looking for tonight in the Sacramento Kings preseason opener? Who are you excited to watch? Going to the game? What's your process for a preseason game? Do you plan your night around it the same way you do a regular season game?
Mm-hmm.
Is this year different than last year? Talk of preseason. What was the other thing I was going to say? It's about taking phone calls. Oh, if you're unfamiliar with how we do calls on this show.
Yeah.
It's just me and James.
And I don't touch buttons.
James doesn't touch. Oh, you can't. There's nothing
there's
for
no
you
button
over there.
For me to touch.
You can turn your mic on and off.
That's right.
So typically on a radio show, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, there will be the Kyle and the James,
yep,
or the D-Lo and the Casey, and then there will be somebody running the board, producing the show, answering the phones,
screening,
doing all that,
making sure you have a take and that you're not just gonna
wander through
35 seconds of nonsense.
If you want to wander through 35 seconds of nonsense, though, that's fine.
Okay.
We don't have that. We don't have anyone to answer. So when you call, it might just ring for a while because we already have somebody on the line.
Yeah.
And we can't have two people on the line at once. So it might just ring. So just hang in there.
We don't even have call waiting.
We have nothing. I can't put you on hold from here.
We can't party line you in.
No.
We can't have multiple people on the air at once.
We might be able to. That would just be chaos. And that's something I don't want to deal with.
Okay.
So if you want to call the show, that's kind of what we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And let's get somebody on the Elk Grove Kia talk line right now. It's everybody's favorite radio segment, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, I'm going to help you out because I feel bad. Okay. I do.
I do,
Mitch. I feel bad that you're here and you're listening and you're calling and I can't get to you every day. So what we're going to do is I'm going to get you twice a week. So when you're listening, if you've got something you're like, I need to call on this, then give us a buzz and we'll make sure to get to you. But once, if you do Monday and Tuesday, I can't get you the rest of the week.
No problem. I set my dog. Limits. I don't know my limits.
Hey, same here, dude.
There it is.
Same here. What do you got for us, Mitch?
I thought maybe you had a little bit of alligator arms.
No, no, come on.
The capital of California. Other radio stations, as you well know, my case. They do have what you guys need, and you guys are, you know, it's a good show, good job, especially you guys and the guys afterwards. But I'll stick with the Dodgers.
So
I
Perfect.
Think somebody wants me to give my take. But this business with this bullpen, is that waving the white flag? That's how it sounds to me.
Perfect.
It's like waving a white flag. And maybe they'll call you, the pitching in or two.
They might. I did get a call from an L.A. number. They might need me to go down there and pitch today.
Right. This is so sad. They've had so many good plays, and they let them go, but they spend money on that pitcher, Bauer, all this money for Otani. He's definitely worth every penny because he deferred most of it. They had Corey Seager. They got deep pocket short arms when it came to Harper and Aaron Judge. The top half is great. The bottom half, the Mendoza line. I got a feeling they're going to be going home. Kenny's going to be loving it. They're going home with the tail between you know where. And it's not Brian's. It's not Dave Roberts' fault. They've had so many injuries. Thanks for letting me
Perfect.
Talk. It's your show.
Appreciate you, Mitch. Thanks so much, man. No, I do. I feel bad because there's days I just forget to open the phone lines, and then Mitch is hitting me up, and he's like, "Dude, what the?" It's like, "Dude, I'm not freezing you out."
Yeah, no, like, it's not intentional.
But there's also times it's like, "Hey, like we're talking, we're doing stuff,
we're cooking,
and we don't get to know like what, like you said, what is." So that's just that's how we're gonna do this and see if we can't find a little middle ground here. But the Dodgers are, as Mitch alluded to, going with a bullpen game today. Their pitching staff is so banged up. No Clayton Kershaw, no Tyler Glasnow, Gavin Stone's out. The list the Dodgers have like 9 guys on the IL who would be the Oakland A's ace.
Yeah, but it's they also had outrageous. The dude they just cut midseason who was like 11-9-2 or something.
James Paxton?
Yeah, because they're like, "Oh, we got too many." And now they don't have a starter. And
well, I think they'd honestly rather go bullpen game than throw James Paxton.
Maybe.
He was not that good of a player. I think he retired.
Oh, wow.
I think he might have hung up his spikes. He'd been around a long time, but well, and they got rid of him because they were getting healthier in the pitching staff.
Yeah, totally.
But like Yoshinobu Yamamoto is not ready to pitch on short rest.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Flaherty just pitched. Like, you can't pitch him on short rest. They might throw them for like an inning late in the game, but they're not ready to go out and start. And plus, you'll need one of those guys if you get to a game 5.
Oh, yeah.
So they're in a really tight spot. Like, it's not, it's funny the juxtaposition between those two teams. Where you have the Padres, who have the benefit of being able to go, "Hey, Dylan Cease, our game one starter, he's going again.
Mm.
We're shutting this thing down in game 4.
That's right.
And meanwhile, the Dodgers, you've got poor Dave Roberts looking down his roster and going,
"What he's doing? He's looking around.
Bullpen
like,
game.
Hey, that guy threw a baseball at me. Yeah, someone threw a baseball at me." Like,
guys, what we need to do is we need to get back to it. We need to break down the film, and we need to find who we can get suspended.
That's right.
Come on.
I know.
No, I do. I bet like Landon Knack starts, and hopefully because he's a starter, and you'll hopefully get, maybe you can get 3-4 innings out of him.
Yeah.
And then turn it over, but not a good place to be. The Dodgers are in a bad spot. Dodgers are in a really bad spot.
Yeah.
But we were talking about the Padres, and again, we'll get back to the Kings with their preseason opener tonight against the Golden State Warriors. But I was talking about this morning how the Padres are not a big market. They have lost a professional basketball team. Granted, not recently, but the Clippers
in the
80s. Used to be in San Diego. They have lost a professional football team.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Padres and the San Diego State Aztecs, like the only game in town. Turns out the Aztecs, a big deal down there.
Oh, yeah.
Last time I was down there last March, and went in and hung out with my guy, Rich Ornberger, who hosts a show down there. And the entire like hour I was in there, it was San Diego State.
That's wild.
Crazy. But anyways, the Padres are the only professional like game in town. And instead of putting their tail between their legs and going, "Oh, we're small market, we don't..." They sign Fernando Tatis Jr. long-term.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in Xander Bogaerts. They bring in Manny Machado. They spend money on pitchers. They've built this awesome pitching staff. They've put money into their player development. And now they're this juggernaut, and B, they have one of the best environments in the sport. And this isn't baseball exclusive. This is what every fan base will scream from the mountaintops. Whether it's the Sacramento Kings, the San Diego Padres, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Atlanta Hawks, or the Cincinnati Bengals, if you invest in this team, if you give us a reason to make this the craziest environment in sports, we'll go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you're going to get people checking out. Like, hey, you're not going to invest your time and money, then neither am I. And I think that San Diego and the Padres are a prime example of what happens when an ownership group goes, "Hey, you know what? We believe in this fan base. We believe in this team. We believe that if we invest money into it, we're going to get a better ROI than if we go, yeah, hey, we'll just put the bare minimum out there and we'll take the revenue sharing and call it good."
Yeah. No, I think, like, look, I've covered a Sacramento Kings team that, you know, switched ownerships midstream, like, while I've been covering the team. And the Maloofs, like, they ran out of money and they couldn't afford to be, you know, an owner of an NBA team anymore, right? And the league had to actually change rules. It used to be that not only could you trade a player to a team, but they could also cover their entire salary, right? Now they put limits on how much a team can take back, the $3 million limit, right? It used to be like we got near the trade deadline and the Kings would give away talent, but then also other players involved in that trade and then take money back to cover more salary or to just take money back so they would have more money to spend on whatever, their casino, whatever. Like it was bad business. And then even like when the Kings first moved here, I mean, Jerry Reynolds has told this story. I think even on the air here on ESPN 1320, but like the Kings had a trade. Jerry Reynolds had a trade set up in the 90s where he was trading Lionel Simmons for Detlef Schrempf. And ownership said no. And he said, why? And they're like, because we can't afford to pay Detlef Schrempf the money he's going to make. And he's like, but you can't afford not to. Like, we're bad. Mm-hmm. And he was looking to have like two all-stars in mm-hmm. Mitch Richmond and Detlef Schrempf for years, like yeah, 5-6 year
nice
deals
combo.
At that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ownership shut it down. And that was a long time ago, right? And I know that now, like the Kings, they're right at the luxury tax. And I know a lot of people out there have wanted the Kings to spend way over and just push the envelope. But that's not the best way to build a team. The best way to build a team is to have your team organically get better. And then when your team organically gets better, you have to pay a De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to pay a Malik Monk who you find and yep. like help become a much better player and put him in a better situation. Mm-hmm. You have to pay a Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pay a Keegan Murray. You can't go out every summer and spend every single dollar that you have.
Sure.
Some teams do that. And then they, you know, they eventually run into it mm-hmm. where, you know, look what happened with Minnesota. Where they just had to trade Karl Anthony Towns. They didn't have to, but they were going to pay, what, 60, 80, 100 mm-hmm. million in luxury tax dollar? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a lot of money. And so you have to be smart with it, but I also agree with you, man. You build a team, and the fans will show up. You invest, they will show up.
Yeah, it's not even about spending every dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, yeah, hey, we maxed out worth the second apron every year. No, it's about because you've got Keegan Murray on a rookie contract right now.
Yeah.
And you've got De'Aaron Fox pre another extension. Like there's, but it's building towards something. You see the direction as a fan, you look and you go, yes, this is a team that very much wants to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that is trying. This isn't a team that went, Malik Monk is going to make how much? Ooh, never mind. Loved him at the vet minimum. Don't love him at $22 million a year or whatever. I forget the exact number that he's getting.
Yeah.
But don't love him at that number. He's got to go. Like, no. They didn't go, hey, we'll trade for Domantas Sabonis, but if he wants $40 million a year, we're going to have to, he's not staying around.
Mm-hmm.
No, man. They're making moves and they're doing the right things. And that's again, and you see the turnout. Like, you see the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I was there at Golden One Center in 2017 when it was like, man, this team doesn't really have a direction. And it wasn't the same. But, oh, look at that. You get a GM in there and an owner. The ownership group's been there, obviously.
Yep.
But you get a GM and you get things moving the right way and you get a team that's looking like it's not only building a winner, because this is different, right? Mm-hmm. There's building a winner because it's not that fans only show up when the team wins.
Yep.
It is when the franchise is very clearly invested in moving in that direction. And maybe, hey, took a big swing, didn't work. But, hey, we're going to do everything we can to take another swing and get this thing moving there. Like, that's all people want to see.
Yeah.
People want to see that the owner gives a... That's why, say whatever you want about Mark Cuban, who is may or may not be a good person. But that is a... Let's take the person out of it and just talk about the sport for a second. That's an owner that wants to win. And makes it very, very clear that winning is like his among his top priorities.
Oh yeah,
and that matters to people, dude.
No, I think it does, and I think for a long time you have to wait until you have a base to build on. Like mm-hmm. as a outpost, NBA outpost that Sacramento is, like you can't go out and say, hey, we're gonna go out this summer and go sign Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming here.
Right,
it's not happening. The fact that DeMar DeRozan just decided to come to Sacramento is like one of the biggest coups in Sacramento Kings in the 40 years of them being in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen. You don't get that level of player here ever to sign, even if it's a sign and trade and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. he had to say yes to Sacramento. And so I think it's really interesting to watch. Like, again, you want to push all your chips in, but you have to push your chips in on a good hand.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just push your chips in because you got a bunch of chips.
Yeah.
No, you're pushing chips in because you've got a good hand or because you have a position where you can bully,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, the Kings haven't been in that position. Mm-hmm. Like, putting all the chips in when you got, like, 9 first and second year players, that doesn't work. Like, if there was a move over the last 5 years that would have, like, put them way over the top and it would have cost them luxury tax and maybe a second apron, I think the Kings would have done it. But yeah. you have to look at the cost analysis of every player. Like, if you're going to trade for OG Anunoby mm-hmm. and you know that he wants $230 million and he plays 60 games a year, what are you doing? Like, the Knicks, go ahead. You can do that. You're mm-hmm. the Knicks. You print money. Mm-hmm. You're the Big Apple. You can charge whatever you want for your tickets.
The Knicks have been bad for a long time.
Oh, yes.
And they still just, it doesn't matter. They're a special exception.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it goes the same with the Lakers. Like, if you're the Lakers, you can make these rash decisions on players and stuff because, number one, Danny Ainge still exists and will always bail you out. And number two, like, it's just you're L.A., and you're always going to be a draw. And mm-hmm. so with Sacramento, it has to be calculated. And when you miss on a Dwayne Dedman, or when you miss mm-hmm. on a George Hill, or you miss even on a Rashawn Holmes, you have to get out from underneath that contract. At whatever mm-hmm. it takes to do it, you got to do it. Because if not, like, you don't have the flexibility as a franchise to progress if you don't. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I think... Like, the Kings have done a good job of actually investing. We're seeing what's happening with Malik Monk coming back for another mm-hmm. year. We've seen them get the big extension for Domas. We know the big extension from De'Aaron Fox is coming next summer. We just don't know if it's going to be 35% or 30% of the cap, whatever it's going to be. It's going to be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But every single one of these moves, you have to look at the long term and what does it mean for a guy like Keegan Murray and what does it mean. Keon Ellis just signed his couple of years and he's cheap right now, but eventually you're going to have to pay him or you're going to mm-hmm. have to have somebody else that's ready to play that position. So it's a never ending cycle. And I think the Kings have done a pretty good job of tightrope walking,
mm-hmm.
still getting NBA, luxury tax shares
mm-hmm.
Without, like, if there was a moment where they had an opportunity to build the team, mm-hmm. they would have done it. I don't think that opportunity has been there. Until now, when they're starting to build.
Right, that's just it. They've reached a point now where it's taken a while to get here for sure. Probably a lot longer than people wanted to.
Yeah.
But they're at the point now where that move let me rephrase this. Maybe they're just a title contender this year. I'm not there, but maybe.
Okay.
Like, things happen during a season, and maybe they get to the trade deadline. And they're like, wow, what a team. But maybe they get to the trade deadline and there's a really good player available that they think with the right trade, they can acquire that player and put themselves into that conversation, into the championship conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to push them into the first apron or the second apron. And if you get that, like, if that, again, I know there's a lot of hypotheticals going on here.
Yeah.
But if you reach that point, like, to me, now you have to make that move. And this gets back to, this goes for Vivek and every other owner in sports in a league with a cap.
Yep.
If you're not willing to make that move and go into that second apron in the NBA's case.
Yep.
What are we doing here?
Oh, no, totally.
If you believe that, okay, hey, second apron, and it doesn't always have to be second apron equals championship contender. Like, it doesn't, you can build a title contender without getting there. But, again, a lot of hypotheticals playing out here. I think if that's kind of the key here, and it's one of the questions that we've not seen answered yet, is are the Kings willing to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I would think so. I think Vivek wants to win.
Well, technically they can't because they're hard capped.
Sure. Yeah.
At the first apron.
Right. This year they are.
Yeah.
But that's a good point. But moving forward, if they reach a point where they got to go into the second apron, but we're going to get a, I don't know, pick your favorite all-star.
Yeah.
for a trade that doesn't make the team worse and is actually going to make them better. That's a question that we've yet to see answered.
No, I agree. We haven't seen it answered, but I also would point to even the DeRozan deal where you're looking, you're thinking, okay, this is a lot of money, but they also, you can see the dollar amounts that they were playing with, and they're looking at the first apron, and they're looking at the luxury tax, and they're trying to judge how we can build a team without like going way into the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if there's a way to make that move, I think they would. We haven't seen it, but
yeah.
But that opportunity, I don't believe has been there. Like, again, when they have the way, if you're a team like Sacramento, the way you have to build your team is you cannot miss in the draft. And when you hit in the draft, you have to take full advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means taking full advantage is finding a guy at number 12, having him look like an all-star when he's young, and trading him for an all-star center, you know, building a team that way, finding the right pieces. Like, there are different ways to do it, but the draft is so much more important for a team like Oklahoma City, for a team like Utah, for a team like Portland, a team like Sacramento. It is so much more important because they are not a draw for free agency. They have a really difficult time building their team that way.
Mm-hmm.
And when these superstar deals come up, you don't hear the Kings. You can hear the Kings mentioned as a potential, but the fact is it never ends up with them coming to Sacramento. They don't, because players choose where they want to go. Even players that are asking for trades and stuff, because what they'll do is they'll just go somewhere else and then ask for another trade.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's complicated, but I don't think that there was a way. I mean, there's a way they could have spent more money over the last 5 years, but for what? Like, what exactly are you just demanding that they throw money down a well?
Yeah, I think you could probably, if you wanted to, I certainly don't want to. If you want to take this on, go for it. You could probably start to dismantle the last 5 years and go, okay, starting from scratch, where were they in 2019?
Yeah.
And go, okay, well, they could have, and with the benefit of hindsight, going, well, they could have done X, Y, and Z and done this and that. But going into what I see, Rory in the chatty house said they hard capped themselves so they couldn't go above the luxury tax line. I don't know if that's if he's pointing out my error earlier, because he said, what are you talking about?
Well, I don't know if they hard capped just so
that's
they
it,
can't.
That's it. I don't know if Rory's saying they did a sign and trade on purpose so they would be hard capped and couldn't go above that first apron.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case.
No.
Well, I don't think it was like, well, we could sign DeMar DeRozan, or we could hard cap ourselves, get rid of Harrison Barnes, trade a draft pick.
No,
I don't think that's
how
that went.
No, they were attempting like two or three other deals before the DeRozan deal came up.
Okay.
Like, whether they shifted gears at some point and said, hey, DeMar DeRozan is the guy. But at a certain point, they got to like, hey, we need to make an acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that we're going to go acquire that is available that would probably come here because he's looking for a new spot is DeMar DeRozan. And that a sign and trade in the NBA, it hard caps you.
Yes.
And so I don't think it was an intentional move just to get hard capped at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, that doesn't make any sense.
And that may not be what Rory's saying. That's how I read it. But yeah, he also could have been pointing out the error I made earlier talking about.
Certainly when they made that deal,
the second apron,
they got hard capped for sure without any.
1,000%.
Yeah. And they're still like.
And that was a thing I forgot about.
Yeah. They're in between. They're right at the luxury tax, but below the first apron. So they still have money to play with. But again,
it's
not a lot, and it's got to be the right type of player to fit in, and then on top of that, you might need some of that money. If you take a player and you trade him for a player who makes a little bit more money, you might need that little bit of money that's left between the luxury tax and the first apron, $6-7 million.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a trade out there where you take back more money than you're sending out, and you need to use that buffer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't know if that's going to happen or not, but like, that's why you don't just go all in all the time. And then, I mean, we used to call it death by mid-level. Like, the Sacramento Kings used to do this. Like, the mid-level exception was only $5 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you go out and you sign Mikey Moore and you sign Sharif Abdul-Rahim and you keep doing the $5 million thing when the cap is only like $58 million, all of a sudden you got four or $5 million players as opposed to one $15 million player and one $5 million player or one $20 million player. So you're just playing into different talent pool.
Yeah.
You're getting guys who are mid-levels. They're mid. I mean, realistically.
Sure.
That's who they are.
Sure.
And if you accumulate too many of those contracts in over a span of like 2 or 3 years, you start stacking those, it really limits what you can do in going out and getting better players.
Sure.
And that's what you have to try to avoid.
Let's keep talking about this. I got a couple of more questions, but we got to go pay some bills. So we'll do that. We'll keep talking. Kings team building ahead of their preseason opener tonight against the Warriors. And then a couple of quick NFL thoughts coming up in the second hour as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. And we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.